WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell a story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Yes, it is Monday Night Talk. You know, some folks, they can't wait for Friday, and some can't wait for the weekend. And there are some who can't wait for Monday. Monday Night Talk. You are at the place that you were looking. We have a great show lined up for you this evening. Starting, of course, the first hour, we do our State House report. We check in with some of the local state reps, state senators. We give you that extended conversation where some outlets will give you sound bites and sound cuts. We give you that. We give you the entire portion at no extra cost. We start with State Rep Josh Cutler, who will be here this evening, and we'll get a little bit of insight into the grizzled veteran up at the State House as he's now kind of leading the charge. You got three new state reps here on the South Shore, and he's leading the charge. We'll speak with him about some of the initiatives, some of the things that he is working on. Oddly enough, Josh is tied to the second hour. I'll give you more about that in a moment. Finishing up with the first hour, a gentleman who has been making headlines. You've seen him in the newspaper. He's done TV stuff. He's done radio segments. Peter Kelleher. Peter is a gentleman who has decided that it is his mission to help individuals who are in need, those who have nowhere to go, who might need a meal, might need a jacket, help form a nonprofit all out of tragedy. Peter Kelleher, a.k.a. the Soup Man, will be joining us, and we'll chat with him about his mission. Second hour, that's where the fun begins. We'll start with licensed mental health counselor Joe Weeks, good friend of the program. He'll kind of be my co-host for the second hour. And we'll talk a little bit about some legislation that he is actually working with State Rep Josh Cutler on, and this is in regards to counseling here in the Commonwealth. So we look forward to talking with him about that. And nobody knows, but Joe is also a big football fan, so I think he's going to want to kind of talk a little bit about how the Patriots did this weekend. So I didn't tell you that, but I think we might have a small conversation about it. Maybe we'll even tease some of the best and worst commercials during that that 3-hour marathon that was I took a nap in the middle of it, and when I woke up it was the same score. Anyways, we're going to close out the show, and I don't know how the heck we're going to do this. I think there's like 20 of them that are coming in here. Have you ever heard of the Unlikely Strummers? Yeah, I never heard of them either, and then I happened to catch something in my news feed about this fantastic ukulele band. You go, ukulele. Yes. They're going to be in studio. They're going to perform. I'm going to find out a little bit about them. And again, I think there's like 20 of them. So I don't know how we're going to fit them all in here, but I believe they're going to play a couple of songs, which should be worth the wait. So we're going to do that coming up at 7:30. Well, it's now time for us to pull over for half a second here and find out what's going on in the WATD Traffic Center, being brought to you on this end by Brennan Smoke Shop, online at BrennanSmokeShopMA.com, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now Pope's Island, New Bedford. And waiting for us on the other side is Lisa DeMilo. Lisa, what's happening out on the roadways?
Well, Kevin, it's all brake lights and headlights on the expressway southbound. It's crawling from the tunnel to Columbia Road, then slow into the split. Northbound's okay all the way into the city. Route 3 south backs up coming off the expressway. But from there, you're good all the way down through the South Shore. Northbound's okay. The Bourne and Sagamore bridges are delay-free, as are routes 24 and 44. This report is sponsored by Unbound.org. A girl in Kenya dreams of becoming a doctor. An elder in Guatemala dreams of being part of a community. Reach out and change their world, and it will change your own. Unbound.org. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Lisa DeMilo in the WATD Traffic Center.
Hey, it's Jeff from Brennan's Smoke Shop, and I've got some great ideas for Valentine's Day. Brennan sells the market's leading male and female enhancement products. Think about it. What says I love you in a bigger way than max size, longer, firmer, fuller? Ever spend a night with a Black Panther? Time, size, stamina. You'll be saying, go Rhino 30X all night long. And when you get tired, we even have the aphrodisiac water for the ladies. If you were ever curious whether or not these supplements really work, trust me, they do. They have the Mal and Jeff seal of approval. Not that we need them. It's just bigger, better, stronger, longer, faster, harder, more massive than it ever was. Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must be 21 years of age or older. Proper ID is required.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
We are back for your first segment of Monday Night Talk. And as you know, traditionally, we try to do the first one. As the State House report, we get a chance to speak with your local state reps and state senators, and proud to speak with one of the longest tenured state reps entering his fourth term in the House. We have State Rep Josh Cutler representing the 6th Plymouth District. Welcome back.
Hey, Kevin. Great to be back. Thanks. Good evening to everyone. It's an honor to be back again for another term and another show.
And I love that, you know what, you're one of the few who makes a point to make sure, not that I'm trying to guilt anybody, but you like being here in studio just to kind of be able
to... It brings me back to my days as a 22-year-old intern here covering town meeting for WATD.
Oh, my goodness.
And some of the equipment hasn't changed at all, I don't think.
Nope.
Edward?
Actually, we're talking about building a museum in one of the rooms and storing half of the stuff there. So start of a new legislative session. Talk to me. What's it like to start yet another term?
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, I this is my fourth term, but I still feel the excitement and the sense of kind of wonder and honor at being able to go up to the State House and to serve our district. We just finished our bill filing period, so a lot of legislation on the docket now. And that's kind of exciting as well. So I got to file a number of bills. I actually filed 35 bills this year and co-sponsored a number of other bills. And so we got some good stuff on the agenda. Hopefully we'll have a chance to chat about a few of those items. But a lot of good stuff on the agenda for this term. And, I'm optimistic that we'll have another productive two-year session.
Feel free to kind of like leap right in. Tell me some of the top bills that you've put forth or that you've co-sponsored that you feel are going to make some kind of an impact on the folks here in the Commonwealth, or at least that you're hoping will make some necessary changes or additions.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I'd say it's kind of two fronts, Kevin. One is on a sort of more macro level. I know as a state, as a Commonwealth and legislature, we want to make some changes and some improvements to our school funding process and update our education funding formula under Chapter 70. That was a particular focus at the end of last term, and I know that's something the governor, the House, and the Senate, we all are kind of in agreement on, Democrats and Republicans, that we need to update our school funding formula. Just recently had a chance to attend a regional event in Plymouth talking about that. And so bringing more money back to our cities and towns for Chapter 70 is a focus, and obviously how we do that and where it goes. Those are kind of nitty-gritty decisions that sure. we'll be grappling with over the next few months. But I know that that is going to be one of the major focuses for everybody for the coming term. Healthcare it seems like a perennial issue that it's always there. I know this term is going to be a focus as well, in particular how it impacts our community hospitals. I think that's going to be a particular focus, so that's going to be an issue we'll be taking a look at. I think things like the issue of vaping, which is something we tackled, e-cigarettes, for those who may not be familiar, something we tackled last term. I think that's going to be coming back. That continues to be a growing concern. I know in my area, I was just talking to some young families about that.
If I could just kind of
sure.
stop you, what are some of the main concerns? Is it a matter of marketing, the flavors? Is it something
yeah, all
like
the
that?
Above. I think it's the fact that it's in our schools so prevalently and at a young age. And I have a son in now middle school, which is hard to believe. And it's a concern at that age level because. The vaping is so easy to kind of put in your pocket and kind of not, it's much less visible than smoking a traditional cigarette. And so it consequently is harder to kind of to tackle.
Are we still understanding what the dangers are of vaping as well? Because I think while the concept is there, well, it's not cigarettes. There's still a thought that there is.
Right, still nicotine.
Yeah.
It may not be tobacco per se, but it's still nicotine. It still has harmful and, it certainly may be better than smoking a traditional cigarette, but it's not good. And so we certainly, and adults obviously can make that decision on their own, but for kids, we want to, it's not a decision they should. Yeah, exactly. So that's going to be an issue. I think one issue that I think is something we need to tackle this term is, may not be popular with folks listening on the radio, but mobile phones, hands-free cell phone use, I think is something that we need to take that step. There's too many folks texting while they're driving. And,
Oh my God! It's an understatement. I can't tell you how many times you should tell half the time when the person's weaving all over the place and they're doing 10 miles under and they're more worried about or they're in a stoplight
yeah.
and you pull up next to them on Route 139 and they're their faces in their phone. It's
sure.
It's,
yeah, and I'm sure I've been guilty of that too. Nobody's perfect, but
no,
that's something we need to make some improvements on. I think so. Those are just a few of the sort of macro level issues that I think we'll be tackling. As a legislature this term. And then, of course, I have a slate of bills that I've filed that are issues that some of which are very sort of local in nature. For instance, a bill that just may be helping one of my towns, but also things that I've worked on either because they're ideas that some of my constituents have brought to me, which I'd love to talk about a couple of those, or things that I have a particular passion for. And so, a lot of those, it's kind of all over the place. I have a great bill on energy efficiency that we recently actually had a nice interview with WAT about trying to increase and update our standards for energy efficiency for our common household appliances so that we can save on energy costs and help to save the planet, so as they say. So working on that, I have a bill about promoting products made in Massachusetts, trying to have a mass-made branding program to help promote buy local. So those are a couple of bills. I have an interesting bill about trying to limit foreign influence in our state elections. That's an issue that's been in the news on the national level.
Yeah.
So that's one of the really great parts for folks listening about my job that I love is that people come to me with ideas, and some of them can be all over the map, kind of. But it's very cool to be able to be part of that process and to try to take an idea and to kind of put it into legal form and try to take that and then present it to the legislature and see if we can make a positive change in the law. And so I really enjoy that part of it, and I'm proud of the bills that we filed and look forward to trying to work for the next 2 years to get some of them passed or get as many as we can passed.
So we know we're just a few days short of the governor putting out his fiscal 2020
yes.
budget. Have you had a chance to take a close look at it and study it, or has there been any talk in the House chambers about it? Because again, your group of legislators are up next.
Yep, absolutely. So the governor came out with his proposal for the FY20 budget, and mm-hmm. that's sort of the first step in the process. And as someone I was, we haven't done committee assignments for the new term, but as someone who was on the Ways and Means Committee for the last term, that was the focus of our committee, was the budget making process. And so I got kind of an inner glimpse into that process and got to play a role in that, which was terrific. So, now the action kind of moves to the House of Representatives, and we'll be kind of getting underway in full bloom this month and also into March and April, drafting and then releasing our budget. And so the governor's budget serves as a great foundation, a great blueprint, excuse me, for that. And I think there's some great things in his budget. I'm very pleased to see the commitment to local aid and to Chapter 70. You know, again, there's...
Without prompting, too, because let's not forget, and I like giving credit where credit's due, that you were one of the lead representatives trying to push for more per pupil a couple of budgets ago to increase that. And it looks as though the governor has kind of, he did so more. I thought some of the numbers that I've seen is that local aid, educational local aid is increased $260 million, so somewhere in the ballpark.
Yeah, so in the governor's budget, his local aid would increase by 4.1% in comparison to the existing, the budget, like the budget year we're in now, where it increased by 3.4%. So that's a nice, healthy increase over last time, which even last year, 3.5% is a pretty good increase as well. So we, in the last two or three budget cycles, we've definitely tried to do a better, to do better with our cities and towns in terms of bringing more dollars back to them. That's always the focus. You know, we can't always do as much as they would like or we would like, but I think we have done a great job there in terms of prioritizing that when we had the dollars. So so I think the governor's budget was a good start, and we'll build on that. Again, you know, it's a lengthy, well, the one thing I've learned, it's a lengthy process. There's a lot of steps in between, as many as slip twixt the cup and the lip, as like Mr. Twain said. And so we will, you know, keep working hard on that process, and, you know, by July 1st, hopefully have a great budget we can all be proud of, Democrat and Republican, be proud of for Massachusetts.
Again, that's State Rep Josh Cutler is our guest representing the 6th Plymouth District, which is Pembroke, Duxbury, and the town of Hanson.
You nailed it. Great job.
And, yeah, well, I sure hope so.
We've been doing this for a little while, Kevin, you know.
just a smidge here.
Right.
I gotta ask you this, and that is, you know, you had a lot of new faces in the House. What's it like having? I heard it was 20-25 new.
I think there's 25.
And you got three new ones on the South Shore here.
Yeah.
What's it like?
Yeah, no, it's great. You know, and it's there's been a lot of natural transition during my tenure, which is I think a healthy thing. And, you know, we've seen some, you know, great colleagues who moved on to do other things or other opportunities. And obviously we're sad to see them go. But they're replaced by new folks who come along and bring new ideas. And so that's sort of the natural way of things. And I think that's healthy. And so it's nice to have the energy that they bring. And hopefully we have, the little wisdom from being grizzled veterans by now. So it's a good combination.
what's it like being one of the grizzled veterans? Again, one of the, you know, folks who... You've paid your dues, your times. We've seen key leadership like the Jimmy Cantwells, who I'm sure you still chat with from time to time.
I do.
Tom Calter, who has moved on to another position. What's it like now where you've got, you know, these new reps who are in the House coming to you and others who are of veteran status?
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, I appreciate the folks, my predecessors and people who I serve with now, who've been there, you know, longer than me, and honestly, Kevin, I still learn things, and you know, I this is my fourth term, but I still learn new things, and there's plenty of things I don't know, and I don't certainly consider myself as someone who has all the answers, but I do try to do my best to pass along whatever kind of wisdom I've picked up along the ways to our new folks, and I have the pleasure of sitting next to one of our new colleagues, actually, literally right next to in the House chamber, to Representative Lenatra from Kingston. And so that's kind of fun to have someone new who I get to work with, who comes along, brings in new ideas, and also hopefully I can share some wisdom that I've picked up over the years. So it is nice to have that new blood come in.
So I would ask you this, and entering, again, you're well now into, what, about a month, a little over a month into your fourth term
almost
here?
Exactly, yeah.
What's your approach? I mean, are you a goal-oriented individual? Do you set goals? Are you somebody who you break up the legislative session into two halves? This year, the first half of the legislative session, these are the goals I want to try to achieve. Second half, this is what I'd like to achieve. Do you do that?
Yeah, so I kind of look at it holistically as like a two-year progression, in the sense that, you know, I have some priority items in my agenda that I've filed, and things that I want to work on. And so, you know, I kind of look at it as a continuum, you know, so in the, for the next 2 years, you know, that's, these are some of the items that I want to work on. But I have to say, Kevin, one of the fun things about my job, and they're not always fun, but you never know what issue is going to come around the bend. And things can change on a dime. There could be some something that changes drastically at the state level or at the federal level that could totally change our agenda. And, you know, you have to be able to react to that and tackle that. And you know, I guess I like to see myself as a problem solver. And that's kind of, I'm not driven by ideology per se, but just the idea of solving problems. And so, you know, if we get a new problem thrown our way, then, you know, we're going to have to change, we may have to change our agenda. And I think that's what we have to do as legislators, is be responsive to that. But certainly I have goals, you know, I have some of the goals that I've talked about and some of the bills that I filed that I'd like to see get done. Last term we had some things. If you'd asked me at the beginning of my last term what would I be working on, it wasn't necessarily the same things that we ended up getting done.
Right.
And some of the things we talked about in the show is that we were able to get done weren't things that necessarily were on the docket to start the term. So I think being a little bit nimble is an important part of this job as well.
Bouncing the balls of your feet, so to speak.
Yes.
And it's interesting, and I had Joan Moschino, I represented Moschino in here last week, and one of the things that I had asked her, knowing that she is somebody who represents coastal communities, you also representing a coastal community, is that there's new tax that the governor has tied into to help in regards to the climate.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had a chance to kind of read up or kind of look into this to kind of get an idea as to what the governor's trying to attempt? I think it's one of two taxes he's proposed.
Yeah, so I have read that. And I actually have a bill that I have a bill that does something a little bit different that I think it kind of handles that in a different way that I'm proposing, actually, that would have to do with the deeds excise fee and bringing that money back to the Community Preservation Act to benefit all of our cities and towns. So I have a little bit of a different tack that I'm looking at on that issue, but I think clearly there's broad consensus about the fact that we do need to bring more resources to help our cities and towns address climate change. You know, I live in a coastal district. Obviously, I see it firsthand. Yep. We saw this impact us every time there's a storm. Senator O'Connor and I obviously worked a lot on issues of seawalls for town of Duxbury, which I represent. But up and down the coast, and not just the coastal towns, but obviously the interior towns are impacted by this as well, by climate change. So we need to find some resources. I have a bill that I've worked on that actually was originated by a constituent having to do with energy saving, called the Energy Save Act. I mentioned it earlier, trying to update our efficiency standards for appliances to help reduce energy consumption and reduce emissions and reduce our carbon footprint. But at the same time, also, you know, save money on energy costs and put money back in people's wallets. So I think, you know, if you can marry up the idea of saving the planet, but also saving some money in your pocketbook, I think then you really have a winner. And so that's, you know, our challenge as policymakers is trying to find ways to do that within the, you know, the frameworks that we have.
Anything we haven't touched upon while I've had you here for this little sit down?
Well, I think one of your guests later in the show is another constituent of mine, Mr. Joe Weeks.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to give a shout out to some legislation we're working on that he's been a leader on, having to do with mental health.
Right.
We haven't talked about the issue of opioids so far on the show. And in a way, I guess it's a positive development that it's not the top headline. It's still a major.
It's still prevalent.
It's still very prevalent.
Yep.
It's still very prevalent. It's still a primary focus. It's still a health crisis. And, you know, we've taken a number of steps to try to address that. And I'm sure that this term, again, will continue to do that. And we'll continue to try to put more resources towards both the immediate crisis, the acute part of that, but also sort of the downstream prevention that our good friend Representative Cantwell worked so hard on last term to try to put more dollars into prevention, which is, I hope, where we can go long term. And I know Joe has done a great number of work with in the mental health field. We have a bill having to do with LMHCs and sectioning privileges, and that is something we're trying to do to expand access to that so that we can expand kind of the field of folks in the mental health profession who can help use that that particular provision. So I wanted to thank Joe for his work on that.
And it's worth, if folks want to get an idea as to what your district hours are, when they can access you, if they have concerns, anything that they feel that you or your office might be able to address.
So you should call Kevin Tocci at 781. No. always happy to hear from folks. I have office hours at my local senior centers, rotating them around every Friday morning. And I have a schedule that I post to my website at joshcutler.com or on Facebook or on Twitter, occasionally on Instagram. So welcome folks who want to reach out. And again, I would encourage folks, you know, I'm looking at the bills that I filed here in front of me, and I would say, you know, the vast majority of them originated as ideas that came from my constituents.
It's important.
And you know, that is the, you know, the most important thing. And so if folks have an idea or concern, a suggestion, you know, please come forward and share it. And, you know, maybe that there's something we can do about it. Maybe there's not. But we'll certainly take a look at it.
Representative, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Kevin.
There he is, the State Representative Josh Cutler, joining us for the first segment of Monday Night Talk. When we come back in a few moments, we can talk a little bit about soup. That's right. Peter the Soup Man Kelleher will be my guest. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tocci on 95.9 WATD.
McWiggins Pub is a fashionable, upscale Irish pub in downtown Whitman. The pub's charming ambience is the perfect setting for Valentine's dinner with your sweetheart. Start with appetizers like the Whitman Sampler for two with potato skins, fried pickles, onion rings, chicken tenders, and mozzarella sticks. McWiggins' menu offers everything from steak tips to shepherd's pie to the best pizzas on the South Shore. And of course, they have Guinness on tap. McWiggins Pub is now accepting reservations for Valentine's Day. Call 781-447-7333 today to reserve a romantic dinner for Valentine's Day. And coming soon, the patio at McWiggins Pub.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tocci.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And this is a special segment. Joining us right now is a gentleman who is known by the name Soup Man. No, I'm not talking about Seinfeld. I'm talking about an individual who has put together an effort to try to help folks. And while part of the premises is that he will provide folks in need food, there's so much more to the story. Joining me right now is Mr. Peter Kelleher, who is the gentleman who is goes by the name Soup Man and has started this effort to help others, whether it's providing food, whether it's providing clothing, whether it's having a shower built that can be, you know, at different communities for folks who do not have somewhere to go to get clean, or even his bus that he drives around. Peter, welcome to Monday Night Talk, sir.
All right. I'm welcome to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Peter.
Well, I'm a Millinocket, Maine native, and I ended up here in Massachusetts because I reunited with a friend of mine that used to sit in front of me in third and fourth grade, my better half, Esther. And this all boils down to why I do what I do, is that I lost a son to opiates. just like any parent, it wasn't good. You know, I could have been a better father. I could have done this. I could have done that. But I really couldn't do much of anything. I couldn't legally tie him to a chair. So I got that phone call that I knew that I was going to get. And, of course, I buried him. Devastated. Months after, I knew I had to do something to give back to the community with people that were in his
disposition.
And you know, he was living on the streets. He didn't need to be. He was in and out of jail. He carried the demon. He did drugs and he did them well. And we couldn't change it. So I was home on a Saturday morning and I said, and once again, I have to do something. And it was cold in October, a year ago, this last October. And I built a soup station for the back of my pickup truck. And I started making 32 quarts of thick Hamburg soup that I would bring into the homeless population throughout the area. I started first in Brockton, and then I would go to different cities. And I was out there for about 6 weeks. And this lady walked up to me, God love her. She was different than everybody else. She was well-dressed. Her eyes weren't big or glossy or, you know, anybody that knows anything about drugs and have spent any time with people, you can tell by their eyes. I can anyway. That she didn't have gloves or hat, and I gave her mine. That was the only thing I really could do at that point. And I went home and I put a picture of me doing soup on the Bridgewater's Facebook page, asking people for help. I figured I would go out at Christmas and pass out socks and gloves and hats and all that good stuff with my soup. I was going into Boston. So I did that. And about 25 minutes later, I had a gentleman call me, Michael Goodman, that said, why don't you start a Facebook page? And I said, no, I really don't have time. I have a couple now, one for my doggy daycare and Bridgewater and Beyond Dog Lovers that I started. And since then, I've got out of the dog care business, yep, and I'm doing this full time. But get back to Michael, that he started a Facebook page, and he said, Peter, take a look at it. I was quite surprised. I just told him I didn't have the time to mend it, and that was his baby. And he agreed, and then he called me back, and about 45 minutes later, and he said, Peter, I've got a man that wants to give you $2,500 to get what you need. And that man gave $2,500 twice to get what we needed. And it's just been for such a disaster, you know, losing a child, to where we've turned this around, and I've turned this around, that his passion, my passion, and my drive, they're coming through Travis. And no one's going to tell me any better. He was a good kid. He was fun to be with, just not when he was using. He had a big heart. Him and I had a lot in common. I love people.
It shows. It shows. And just in the Facebook page, the Facebook group that Peter is talking about is called Support the Soup Man. And the numbers are growing by the day. And we're talking about this time of year where it really is brutally cold. We have seen days, in recent days, where it's been down to, I mean, wind chills of, 5 below, 10 below. Peter, what are your main goals right now, immediately, for the winter of 2019?
Well, we have so many goals. Mm. I mean, there's so much to be done. And we pass out survival backpacks. We did last year about 822. We just ordered 2,000 backpacks. And we see, because we pay for most of what comes in the backpacks. Mm-hmm. We do collections from the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, groups, church groups, businesses have been doing collections for things we need. And that's very good. We got to keep that going, totally. But we do buy, I would think, I don't know, 95% of what we put in our backpacks.
What are some of the things that you put in those backpacks? Are they just hygiene, whether it's soap or towels or wet naps? What do you do?
Yeah, with, toothpaste, toothbrushes, deodorant, soap, toiletries, feminine products for the women. There's a lot. Blistex. It's just things that you can use out there in the cold. I mean, we take so much for granted. Mm. You know, it's just amazing what people take for granted.
If I can kind of get a gauge, so how long has this been? A year-long effort? Has this been a couple of years? How long have you been
doing this? We started this, well, I did, and a year ago last October.
Okay.
So we're a little over a year old.
And you're seeing a great amount of success. This is an outpouring of support. What would you say you've been able to raise and been able to give? You've already kind of shared details of some of the stuff you gave up. How much do you think you've raised so far to date? If you just put a round number on it.
$150,000. But then when we just got $85,000 worth of winter product from Ocean State. They gave us $30,000 worth of boots a couple months ago. I mean, they're stepping. We have some big hitters that are stepping up to the plate. I've partnered with Ocean State. They're incredible people. Incredible. And I've met the two owners and their wives. I'm hoping to put, we are coming out with a food line. And I'm hoping to put some of the product that's coming out. We've discussed that number 10 can of kale soup that we could put just in the food banks. They passed out 29 truckloads of food when I went down to pick up the boots in the bus. That a lot of people just don't know this, the stuff that they do for people. It's amazing.
Where did the I believe you have a bus.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Tell me about that.
Billy Lucini, Lucini Transportation, and his family, they're the best. They really are. He started supporting me in the beginning. He heard, and I stopped by. He cut me a check for $1,000. We talked, and, I stop and talk to him. He's a man with a lot of knowledge, and he's a wise man. He's put me in my place a couple times. One was that when I said to him, I feel guilty, because I smile from ear to ear and my son's dead. And he did. He put me right in my place about that, and which I needed to hear from somebody. That's, it's just, we didn't plan on this. I didn't ask for this. This has fallen into my lap, and I'm taking it to the moon.
How does it feel, though? Again, you've been able. This is a tremendous story. I know that there's been a lot of press. I mean, beyond what we've done here, I know that you've been in the Globe. I think there's been other TV channels and radio stations involved. But you've taken a personal tragedy and turned it into a story of giving. I mean, when you sit back and look at it, how do you feel as to the success a year later? Even though it's not going to replace your son, but it's doing so much good for others who need.
Every day I try to wrap my head around this. Every day I'm given a blessing from somebody. Somebody steps through my door or I meet out in the public that just bless me every day. I'm, like I said, trying to wrap my head around it. I have an incredible team. Kim, Sonia, Mitch, Aaron, the board of directors are incredible that I have. We have gone through one set of board of directors. It was just time for a change. The time they put into this, we have somebody running different groups, of whether it's the clothing team or whether it's the backpack team. We're getting ready on the 7th to fill up about 1,800 backpacks in Middleborough, at a place in Middleborough. And I'm running those through Maine. Maine is, Brockton has a shower, and Bangor, Maine will get a shower that will be given to them. I'm giving them to another 501(c) nonprofit, and they can take the liability. We're always going to have our own liability on it because we're going to own them. We're going to give them to them for them to use. And if they're not keeping up the maintenance, or it's, you know, we'll have a legal contract. We'll own the outside of them that we can change what we want to for sponsors. And if they have any problems with it, then with you know, the liability, or they couldn't pay it, we'd step up to the plate. It you know, what really rots is it takes money to do all this, and big money.
Mm. Yeah, we're speaking with Peter, the suit man, Kelleher, who is talking to us about this organization that it's in its infancy, but is doing so well. Are you surprised by the outpouring of donations and support by the general public?
You know, I've been asked that many times, and when I first started this, or before, you know, after Travis's death, I really didn't care too much for people.
It's understandable.
You know, it really is. You know, the drug addict that keeps giving them the drugs, or the way I'm not going to get into any politics, because it's just a terrible thing, the epidemic out there. If it isn't in your house, it's in the neighbors. And if you don't believe so, you're delusional. I just want to help people, and I'm very shocked of where this has gone. Yes, I am. But I couldn't stop it. How could I stop it? We're doing such good things for so many people. I mean, it's the jackets, it's the hats, it's the boots, coats. We've given out hundreds of coats. Everyone has a coat or a pair of boots in their closet. You know, we could use them. And we really need boots from size 9.5 up, jackets extra large and up, because what our homeless friends do is they'll layer their clothes, whether it's a T-shirt, a sweatshirt, a sweater, or a hoodie, or in a jacket. You know, it's some people, it's just really weird. You kind of wonder, why aren't they going in and finding a place to stay? Well, Father Bill's, some places they can't get in because they don't have an ID. Well, that's crazy. Which is crazy. I had another guy tell me last week he can't get in because he's got a medical condition, mm-hmm. and they won't let him in. And that's just crazy.
So I would ask you this. So it sounds to me as though you are a certified nonprofit, are you?
Oh, absolutely.
And you have a board?
Yes.
Do you have at least a place? I mean, do you have a meeting place? Or folks wanted to get involved?
On our website, you can sign up. We have someone do the soup with us every Saturday. And the sandwiches, we do 100 brown bag sandwiches, 90 to 100 every weekend. And we find a city or a town to go into. And, of course, you can jump on our website. It's www.supportthesoupman.org. Now, that's supportthesoupman.org. It is absolutely beautiful. You can a wish list, pictures of what we've done. All my interviews are there. All my legal paperwork is there, from the 501(c) to our tax numbers, 1099. So we needed a right to solicit in Mass. We have one, and as well as Maine. We're registered. Maine is a nonprofit, and we will be registering. It's in the works now in New Hampshire as a nonprofit.
I have to ask you, I'm looking, the website is fantastic. Who came up with the idea of the soup ladle with a heart? Who designed that? That's fantastic.
Well, actually, a couple people have had their hands on it. Okay. A lady that was on my board of directors with the first batch, she put her effort into it, Cindy.
And again, their mission, just so you know, is it's a grassroots campaign that started out of tragedy, as Peter lost his son, Travis, and started supplying homemade hot soup to the homeless during cold winter months in the memory of Travis. And it is this group's mission to help relieve the pain and suffering that the homeless experience daily, while bringing greater public awareness to their plight. Probably one of the last questions I'll ask you before we wrap this up is there a set of goals? Does the board, do you have a set of goals that you want to look to achieve before resetting and creating new goals? What are your goals right now that you want help for?
We're coming out with a food line. It's taking longer than I've expected. I want to put a shower in every major city in New England. You know, everyone deserves to be clean and put on clean socks. It just takes, like, me being here, getting on the air, and word of mouth. Check out our Facebook page, Support the Soup Man. You can donate online, www.supportthesoupman.org. I have a GoFundMe page for the Bangor shower. In 10 days, we're up to almost $9,000.
Wow.
You know, we're going to get one. There's just no doubt in my mind. When I'm leaving, actually, on the 11th, going through Maine with a bus. When I come back, I'm hoping to have the $50,000 that we need. And if not, then we'll just keep asking.
Again, supportthesoupman.org. You want to find out more information. You want to kind of get an idea of the events that they're doing, what their needs are, what their goals are. I implore you, please, go to the website. Find out how you can get involved with something like this. And Peter, I want to thank you for telling your story, sharing. And let's do this. I'd like to have you back in the warmer months just to kind of bring an update where things are with as far as the food line and as far as donations, how they're going. Is that a plan?
Oh, absolutely. I would be honored to, you know, and I'm honored to be here. I just, you know, it's all about people helping people for me. It's just that simple. People helping people. www.supportthesoupman.org. We need your help. Even if it's a buck, $2, $3.
Cup of coffee. That's all it is. Peter, thank you so much.
All righty.
That's all the time we have with Peter. But like I said, we're going to have him back in. We are going to step aside for a moment. And when we come back, more Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 FM at 1460 AM WATD.
South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
WATD FM Marshfield. WATD Brockton.
Hey, it's Jeff from Brennan's Smoke Shop, and I've got some great ideas for Valentine's Day. Brennan sells the market's leading male and female enhancement products. Think about it. What says I love you in a bigger way than max size, longer, firmer, fuller? Ever spend a night with a Black Panther? Time, size, stamina. You'll be saying, "Go Rhino 30X all night long." And when you get tired, we even have the aphrodisiac water for the ladies. If you were ever curious whether or not these supplements really work, trust me, they do. They have the Mal and Jeff seal of approval. Not that we need them. It's just bigger, better, stronger, longer, faster, harder, more massive than it ever was. Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must be 21 years of age or older. Proper ID is required.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Follow Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right. Hour number two is before you joining us. Bottom of the hour. I just actually during the break actually went out there and looked. There's about 20 people out there. All warming up. They're all tuning up. The unlikely Strummers will be joining us in full force. Be prepared. That'll be happening. But before we get to some good music, Joe Weeks, good friend.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic.
Joe is the past president of the American Mental Health Counselors Association, also past president of the Massachusetts Mental Health Counselors Association, and currently the director of public policy for them, right?
Yes, sir.
And you're still a member of the American, the national.
Oh, yeah. I'm still okay. On the board.
All right, so you're still on that.
There for a little while longer. Board.
And we're going to talk in a couple of moments a little bit about some legislation that you are working with State Representative Josh Cutler.
Yes, he's always been good to us.
Always been good to us. Okay. We'll talk about that. But I know that, and I teased at the top of the show, that you were a sports guy. And one of the things you said was you wanted to at least take a moment to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. Yeah, I take it that you're a Patriots fan.
Absolutely. But before we get into that, can we just acknowledge the fact that there are an abundance of chairs
in the room right now.
And I hope you take a picture of this and broadcast it out because that is fantastic.
As you're stalling and talking to the folks about what we're seeing, because, again, radio is not a visual medium,
there are
a lot of chairs. And this is thanks to Ben Rabinovich, who actually, Ben does the sports exchange from time to time on Sundays. And so usually there are a lot of high school athletes that are in here with Bill Wilhelm and Brendan Conley. And so he's used to kind of setting up a lot of chairs. And
This is the calm before the storm, I'm guessing, because you have to take this picture. And then you got to take another picture when they're all sitting in it and standing around it, because this is just going to be a mighty accomplishment. So good job if you can fit them all in here.
I think it's interesting. I had a chance. And so they're still waiting for some of the leadership of the unlikely Strummers. And there was even one gentleman who goes, I'm Bob. His name is Bob. Bob's like, yeah, I'm a roadie for the band. I'm like, interesting.
There you go.
So this is going to be a fantastic conversation. But so digressing back to talking sports.
Absolutely. Yeah, what a game. I heard you tease it. You thought it was boring. For me,
I don't mind a defensive struggle.
Yeah.
But I kind of had heart palpitations two weeks ago when they played Kansas City, and that was a back and forth. I was hoping that this was just going to be like a mere blowout.
Yeah.
That it would be like 35-3.
But that's not the Patriot way.
At halftime when, Adam Levine would take all his clothes off.
Yes.
Just take off his shirt and, cause all kinds of controversy.
Was it a shirt or was it more of a curtain or a fabric from IKEA or something?
I think that's
what it is.
I did see people who were saying that they wish that Prince was still with us because he made the most of
that was a
halftime.
Show.
You're talking about it was pouring rain and he went out there and he performed and he killed it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You somebody who watches the commercials. My missus was someone who's like looking for it. She liked the Steve Carell commercial. Yep.
That was a good one, actually. I forgot all about that one.
Little John.
That was good. Kenny. And I like the Stella one. They had the most interesting man. I thought the good cameo, the Big Lebowski, I thought that was interesting.
It was okay.
So I thought it was a good little mix-up.
I liked the 100 years for the NFL when you had the
That was
cameos
my favorite one.
It was fantastic.
Great premise.
My favorite, I'm a pet guy, so my favorite one was the Amazon dog and Harrison Ford, where the dog kept barking. He goes, stop barking. I'm not paying for that. And then at the end, of course, the truck shows up and the guy's unloading. He goes, an awful lot of dog food.
Oh, yeah.
And he looks at the dog. I'm not talking to you. That was pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
The other ones,
was.
Like the T-Mobile commercials.
The 13-year-old in me came out with the Dietz Nuts ones. Did you see that one?
I did.
That was funny.
How do they taste?
Oh. Oh, that was so good. Yeah. I was a child for about 30
and
seconds.
And the Game of Thrones.
That was a good sneaky one.
Promo. Yes, it was.
The knight, the mountain, he's killing off the Bud Light knight.
Yeah.
I thought that was good. And then...
who knew? It was very clever.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, you got the Captain Marvel movie that's coming out. I thought that was a great
trailer.
Captain
Marvel and Avengers Endgame.
Oh, yep. Fantastic.
Very dark.
I missed that one. I didn't see that. That was at the very beginning, I think.
It was very dark.
Yeah. It was good, though. I liked them. They had some good ones this year. A little bit slower than the previous ones, in my opinion. But I think that overall they had some pretty memorable ones. They were good. The Deets Nuts ones was fantastic, though. Yeah,
we'll have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I was a child.
Maybe we'll have you in next year after the Super Bowl. Hopefully the Patriots are successful yet again as we get a little bit of a dynasty going on here.
Hey.
Six rings.
That'd be great.
Six. Eight for Belichick.
He got the gauntlet. Completed the gauntlet.
I'm sure Belichick wants two more, so he'll have a full
He's 10. Probably already getting the writing on his bow.
Two is... Two, of course, when he was the defensive coordinator with the New York Giants.
That's right.
Under Bill Parcells.
That's right.
And then six under the Patriots. And by rights, you know what? Should not have lost last year.
No.
And I say of the two games against the Giants, there was that one pass that Wes Welker missed that would have sealed the game.
Yeah, I still can't talk about that.
I know.
Can
I confide in you? You are a professional.
Yeah, you're amongst friends.
I am. I'm still thinking about seeing professional help for that.
So there you go. I know
something to keep in mind. And speaking of professional health, tell us, so folks know, what is it that you do for a living? You are a professional in regards to being a counselor, right? A licensed
counselor? Yes. So I'm a licensed mental health counselor. So I do a couple different things. I have a couple different jobs, but my title, my identity is around being a licensed mental health counselor, LMHC for short.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm not here... co-hosting. In my spare time, I'm the program director for a community-based agency, and we do a lot of community-based outreach. We go into people's homes, do intensive care coordination, family partner, stuff like that. When I'm not doing that, I teach a couple classes at Bridgewater State University, and then...
adjunct professor?
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes, I've been teaching there for about 7 years now, going on 8 years. It's been a long time. Went by fast, though. And then... I also do the public policy stuff for the Massachusetts Mental Health Counselors Association and do some volunteer work along the side with that. But my passion's with counseling and helping people, and that's what I do.
When did you decide to become a mental health professional?
Really early on, when I was in high school. I was one of those ones that kind of knew what I wanted to do very early. I would always be talking to people, but the biggest thing was I just trying to figure out how the brain works, people's behaviors. That's always intrigued me, and then learning the science behind it just really fascinated me. And then from that moment forward, I knew what I wanted to do.
Talk to me about being the head of your industry's state and national association. So, what did you learn during your tenures, and even as you still serve as a board member on each?
Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun. A big shout out to some of the people that came before me. Berna and Midge and Deb, the current president, Betsy Hanley, who has been a guest on this show in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Evan Chanel's coming up on it. They're a great group of people. I've been spoiled because I got to learn really fast the inner workings of what it means to be a licensed mental health counselor, how to look at the laws, regulations related to that in a new way. Mm. I was always kind of a policy wonk, and a lot of my volunteer stuff kind of made me that way. A lot of people like to, play basketball for sports, and I as a hobby, and I read legislation. That's what I do for fun. So to get to look at stuff from that perspective was great. And then learning everything that, on a state level, I was able to take it to a national level, and a lot of the policies that I've been able to kind of learn about in Massachusetts, we've actually been able to take nationwide. We're actually going to be changing a lot of, hopefully, federal laws and state laws nationally, take a lot of the Massachusetts models. So pretty excited.
So talk to me about the legislation that you're working with to draft or has already been drafted by the state rep, Josh Cutler.
Yes.
How important is it to counseling around the state?
I think that every single counselor that's listening right now is probably going to be very excited with what we're talking about if you don't know already. So this is incredibly important within the counseling community because this is something we've been looking for years. And one of the things that actually made me apply for the job as a PP&L director for MAMCA was I didn't understand why we didn't put some of this legislation forward earlier, and I needed a platform to do it. And they saw the vision, they agreed with it, and they let me kind of run with it, which was great. And again, the executive director there gave a ton of support, and she had it in her pipeline as well, so it sped up the process. But we had a good partnership with Josh. I've known him for years, and Representative Cutler has been a good supporter and advocate for mental health counseling. This is the third time, I want to say, that he sponsored this legislation for us. So we have three pieces of legislation he sponsored three times and one that we are introducing now.
Mm-hmm.
So the big one, though, is to allow licensed mental health counselors to be able to utilize what we call Section 12 privileges.
Okay.
We're the only profession in the state that doesn't have the ability to do that, comparatively anyways, to licensed independent clinical social workers, psychologists, police officers. And what that means is that if I'm sitting there, right, and you come to me.
And this is Section 12 you're going
to
explain.
This is Section 12, okay, yep. Please. So if you come to me and I am trying to provide you with services, right, you would expect that I would be able to use all of the tools at my disposal to keep you and the family and your family and the community safe, right?
Mm-hmm.
LMHCs, for whatever reason, don't have the ability to utilize Section 12. And what Section 12 is, in a nutshell, is that if the assessor deems you a safety risk to yourself or somebody else, the community, whatever it is, that we would be able to assess you for safety risk and then bring you to a hospital in which they could do what's called a Section 12B. And at that point, they would, you know, hospitalize the person for up to 3 days if we need to. Now, that is so important in this field, because it keeps people safe. It would keep you safe if you were my client, but it would also keep myself safe as a professional, and it would cut out the middleman. Because a lot of the times right now, what you'll see is you'll see police officers or somebody else come to us, and they use our assessments anyways. And we have a full scope of practice. We can assess for, you know, mental health diagnoses, substance abuse issues. We can treat them. We get reimbursed for it. But we can't use our full tool set. It's kind of like, you know, saying that you could be a plumber, but you're not allowed to use the wrenches. You got to find another way to keep the water from coming into the house. So this is incredibly important, and this is something that we've been looking for years now. And Representative Cutler's been great enough, and he's had the foresight to be able to sponsor this and partner with us to craft that legislation. And we're hoping it's going to work out. So that's the big one that people are going to get excited about. And then the other one that he's helping us introduce right now, for the sake of time anyways, because there's a couple other ones I could talk about, but...
We could devote a show to
Oh, absolutely. This, right? Especially with me, if you give me a microphone, I can talk for as long as you want me to, so I'll find a way to fill the space up. But
we have strummers out in the hallway.
That's so a good point, yeah.
We have strummers. So we don't want to deter them, so...
That is true.
Okay.
Plus, I want to see how you can fit 18 people in this room right now.
A lot of people are going to have to inhale in order to get
it. You are not kidding.
Go ahead.
So the other thing is that we are going to be introducing, or we have introduced, to separate the Board of Allied Mental Health into its own board of registration for licensed mental health counselors. Now, this is huge, because what we're seeing right now is a incredible crisis going on right now in Massachusetts, where you have about 500 to 600 people graduating every year that just want to get out in the workforce, right? And when you graduate, the expectation is that if you pass a test, you should be able to get your license within a reasonable amount of time. You pass all the qualifications. Right now, there is such a crunch at the board for a whole host of reasons. We can get into it if you want to, but just for the topical stuff right now, for a whole host of reasons, we got people waiting up to a year or more to be able to even know if they got their license or even to have it denied.
Why is this?
There was a mass exodus of staff that went out at some point. There's an overabundance of different applications that have come in as a result of that. They're trying to play catch up. But the way the board currently exists is that there's about 5 different professions all being seen under the same group of folks. And they struggle to get quorums. They struggle to meet. There's a whole host of reasons. Again, social workers have their own board. Psychologists have their own board. Nurses have their own board. Licensed mental health counselors, there's over 6,000 of us in Massachusetts right now.
We don't have a board.
We don't have a board. We have to share it with other folks. It doesn't make any sense. And so even when we're...
You're hoping to be able to establish your own board.
Yes. Okay. And it's very little cost, if anything, to the state. And I think that, you know, we appreciate Josh to be able to do this.
Well, and now, and that's you just led right into my next question.
Yeah.
Anytime anybody is seeking change, especially if it's legislatively.
Right.
Any of these changes that are being offered, any of this legislation that's being put forth, depending on how far it's able to make it, whether it goes to committee, whether it comes out on the other side,
mm-hmm.
and it's modified and signed into law, is this going to come at a cost to the folks who are seeking help?
All the stats that we've run show that it's not going to come at a cost to anybody. Okay. The way it's set up right now is that the board just consists of 5 volunteers. And for us, anyways, it's going to be 9 folks. But these are volunteers. It doesn't cost anybody anything,
mm-hmm.
except for the space. And it doesn't matter whether it's the psychology board, the social worker board, or the Board of Allied Mental Health right now, or if we get our board, it'd be that board too. They use the same staff, which is also one of the reasons why there's so many applications. The number of applications aren't going to go up. It's just our ability of the intricacies and the nuances of how people get their licenses either approved or denied or moved along or even looked at. Disciplinary actions will speed up because we'll have our own folks being able to actually discipline our profession as opposed to other disciplines, you know, overseeing us or us overseeing other disciplines. So it's going to streamline it, make it better, but there's no cost to this. There really wouldn't be.
Well, no, here's the thing, though, is if, in fact, let's say legislation allows you to form a board, whether it's and have the state appoint members to the board, and then once the board gets up and running, it's a matter of maybe the board can have a process in which members are appointed and maybe have associate members to the board, so at least you have a little bit of a farm system, so to speak. Wouldn't you want to seek a line item in the state budget that there would be some funding to be able to operate?
Yeah, so in a much larger scale issue, there are other organizations, including my organization, that is trying to appeal to get to have the state allocate more money so that the staff that's there at the licensing board can actually do their jobs. As of right now, there is a crunch. So we have letters out. We're partnering with other organizations to do that. But in terms of the legislation, it's written in there how it gets done. And the best part is that, you know, as of right now with the Allied Board, they're having a hard time finding folks from other disciplines to be able to go there. So they're actually, you know, calling us saying, hey, do you know of a person with this license that could serve on this board? Because now you have to meet these requirements of five different disciplines. Right now, we have an abundance of folks that would be willing to serve on a board. So just being able to get a quorum would be fantastic and much easier with our own board. There's really no money that's associated to it, but more money is always going to make lives easier. That's outside of the legislation we proposed, but that is something that we as organizations are, you know, rallying around to try to get them more money because you need to have staff. They just need it. So, but that's a different issue altogether, which we do support, you know, give them more money.
You said that I believe that some of this legislation has been before the House prior.
Yes, the Section 12 one was.
Okay, how far did it make it? Did it make it into committee? Did it come out of committee? What happened?
Yeah, so it got assigned last year. It got assigned to the Joint Committee on Mental Health, Substance Use, and Recovery, and it got there the first time as well. And it actually got a little bit further the very first time we introduced it. It got all the way to Representative Sanchez in his committee on healthcare finance. Then it got put out to study there. And the rationale that I got was that it was because he wasn't sure that he wanted to open up a scope of practice. He wanted to know why a lot of us were introducing this legislation now as opposed to years ago. And I think we tried to explain, you know, the evolution of the license and the profession. We wanted to, this was just the right time. But it got stuck there. This last legislative cycle, it got stuck in the Joint Committee on Mental Health, Substance Use and Recovery alone. Didn't even make it to healthcare finance. There was a ton of turnover on that board, and I felt like every time we got some traction, someone would leave and we have to start the clock all over again, so, and then eventually time just ran out.
So people weren't as familiar with it every time it was discussed.
Yeah, well, we had a great relationship with Chairman Flanagan, Jennifer Flanagan, and then she got appointed to the Cannabis Commission right smack dab in the middle of our reissuing. So we just kind of got stuck, you know? So now we're going to figure out who's going to be appointed to committees. I checked as early as today just for the sake of it. I haven't seen any committee appointments yet. Mm. But once we do that, we'll start hitting the ground and trying to figure it out again and build those relationships. But another thing that stalled us is that we had attached previously Section 35, which is substance use.
Mm-hmm.
Same. It's a similar thing, but slightly different process. But there's been a lot of pushback over the past few years for Section 35 at all. So this time we introduced it, but we've removed 35 from it because we felt like that's a fight that it's okay.
It's another hill you'll climb another day.
We'll worry about that later on. Sure. But Section 12 is essential. I mean, it's already written into law for a lot of folks, and we need it. I mean, just for equity's sake.
Yeah, we're speaking with Joe Weeks, a good friend who is a licensed medical health counselor. Mental health counselor.
Yes.
It did roll off my tongue correctly. I apologize. He was talking about this legislation that they're putting forth. When Rep. Cutler put these together, I mean, what kind of co-sponsors, or what kind of support have you seen, at least from the House?
Yeah.
And have you heard anybody from the House who's also on board with this to kind of help give it a push to
absolutely
that part of the legislature?
That's the one thing that's always been great, is that on Beacon Hill, they've always come out in droves and they've supported us. So we have lots of co-sponsors. Last time I had checked, we had up to 16 co-sponsors, which is no easy feat. So if you get 16, that usually means that someone's liking what you're doing. Mm. But yeah, it's a huge shout out to Representative Cutler's office, because Cole, one of his aides, he and I worked hand in hand.
Cole Engley?
Yes. Yeah. He's fantastic.
He's a rock star.
I adore that guy. I mean, he is fantastic. He's very patient, and he was willing to sit there and write all this stuff down with me, kind of going line by line. We spent a lot of time in the last last month, actually, putting this stuff together. He's been great. But yeah, we got lots of co-sponsors. We feel good about it, but you know, I think we've had anywhere up to 28 the first time we put it out. And, you know, it just, you never know where it's going to go once it goes to committee. So it's all about just getting the education out there, getting the word out there, and letting people know that this is something that's actually important. And it's not something that we're just looking for because it's what we do for a living. It's actually important to people and to the practice and the profession in general. If people want the highest quality care, we need the tools to be able to do it. And for us, these are the tools. For any LMHC that you talk to, these are no-brainers. These are things that people should rally behind and be able to get through. But, you know, it is always about you're trying to educate folks to get them to see where you're at. So,
and are you expecting to be now? Have you attended any hearings and been able? And if so,
yeah.
What is that like to be in the room, not only hearing some of the testimony and some of the conversation about... Yeah. You said legislation again. You talked in Section 12.
Yep.
You know, have you ever been asked to be up at the mic and give a statement as to the said need of the legislation?
Absolutely. That's one of the fun things I like about this position, is that I get to go up there and advocate. And I've been to plenty of hearings for our bills and for other bills. And it's a great time to get your voice heard. I'm not going to lie; it's probably one of the most intimidating things that I've ever seen. Not that bad when you're doing it, though. The people that are there are genuinely interested. They're not looking to grill you. It's not like you're watching C-SPAN and you're trying to go through and they're not trying to get clips on you.
Right.
They really want to learn from you. And you get a bunch of people that are willing to have their voice heard. You can do that. The other thing is, when you show up to those hearings, you don't have to speak. You have the option of speaking. But you can pass in something in writing, and they file it and they read it. And people can do that all the time. The best thing that people can do, though, if they really want to advocate, which, you know, it seems so intimidating, but it's really not. It's just find your state representative or state senator and just call their office. They tally it. They actually write down, they remember, and if you call enough, they'll get sick of you. But at the same time, you'll build that relationship.
You know, like lines on the wall, 1, 2, 3, 4, cross.
That's right.
1, 2.
I'm at a point right now where I think half the people on Beacon Hill are waiting for my phone call. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things. It's like, oh, today's Tuesday. It's probably Joe's probably calling today. But you just make the phone call, get it out there. But people like to hear from their constituents.
Are you hoping that folks will mobilize and maybe call or contact the representation and get involved with this? I mean, what do you want, other than informing folks via this radio show?
Yep.
Is there anything you're asking the folks who are listening?
Yeah, I implore people to go out there and find out who your state rep is, find out who your state senator is, get them on your side. Have an appointment with them, meet them, get a relationship with them. Have them understand, because I can't do it alone, and the team that I have with me can't do it by ourselves. The more the merrier. And the most important thing is they want to hear from their constituents. It's one thing if I call somebody, you know, and I call a representative in Malden or Springfield or whatever, they'll listen to me. But it means a lot more when it comes from a constituent, because that's the people that they're elected to represent. I can make all the phone calls, but people need to be able to go out there and do that. Now, you don't also have to be an LMHC to care about something like this. What means a lot is just regular people that are passionate about this, that want to see it happen. They should make those phone calls too. You shouldn't have a stake in the game as a licensed person, someone that's going to utilize these services. If you come to me and you expect me to have the ability to protect you, you should care about this. If you're someone that seeks mental health counselor services, or feel like somebody in your family or someone will in the future, you should care about this too, because we're the ones that are going to be working on behalf of you. So you can always reach out to me, by the way. Is it okay if I kind of plug my... my stuff?
You were ready to. You must just continue.
Oh, all right. All right.
Because you're moments away from taking off the guest hat and putting on your co-host hat.
That sounds fantastic.
We got to bring the army in a moment.
I love it. All right. Mm-hmm. So if anybody has any questions regarding any of this stuff, or if you're looking for fact sheets or scripts or anything, or just genuinely just want to talk about what this legislation means, you can always reach out to me at my email address. It's jweeks, W-E-E-K-S, at mamhca, mamhca.org. That's jweeks at mamhca.org. Email me anytime, and I have no problem helping out, and I really hope that you will support this because it's important stuff.
Excellent. Joe, thank you very much for coming and discussing this legislation, and let's have you back in to not only be co-host, but also give us updates as to how the process is going with it.
Oh, absolutely. I still got two more bills that we can talk about, too, so let's...
Another show. Let's do it. But right now, we're going to step aside just for a moment. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9. WATD, don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Saturday, November 3rd, 1955, Bobby Palmer gets his brand new basketball backboard nailed into place on the telephone pole directly in front of old Mrs. Borden's house. Now, way back in 55, all backboards were metal and located at the park. If you wanted your own, you made it yourself, out of wood. And Bobby's was a beauty. He was 10 years old and handy. The problem was old Mrs. Borden.
You get off my lawn, young man. I'm calling the Brady Police Department. Now, you give me that big ball there.
Bobby was not about to give up that basketball. Instead, he gave it a mighty heave at the backboard. The ball hit the rim, shook loose the metal hoop that fell through the windshield of old Mrs. Borden's 49 Hudson.
I'm Tiny of Tiny & Sons Glass. We come to your work or home, and we fix your windshield. Your insurance company covers it. 1-888-64-TINIES. Just call.
What basketball hoop?
McWiggins Pub is a fashionable, upscale Irish pub in downtown Whitman. The pub's charming ambience is the perfect setting for Valentine's dinner with your sweetheart. Start with appetizers like the Whitman Sampler for two with potato skins, fried pickles, onion rings, chicken tenders, and mozzarella sticks. McWiggin's menu offers everything from steak tips to shepherd's pie to the best pizzas on the South Shore. And of course, they have Guinness on tap. McWiggin's Pub is now accepting reservations for Valentine's Day. Call 781-447-7333 today to reserve a romantic dinner for Valentine's Day. And coming soon, the patio at McWiggin's Pub.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Hey, it's Jeff from Brennan's Smoke Shop, and I've got some great ideas for Valentine's Day. Brennan's sells the market's leading male and female enhancement products. Think about it. What says I love you in a bigger way than max size, longer, firmer, fuller? Ever spend a night with a Black Panther? Size, stamina.
You'll be saying, "Go Rhino 30X all night long."
And when you get tired, we even have the aphrodisiac water for the ladies. If you were ever curious whether or not these supplements really work, trust me, they do. They have the Mal and Jeff seal of approval. Not that we need them. It's just bigger, better, stronger, longer, faster, harder, more massive than it ever was. Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must be 21 years of age or older. Proper ID is required.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Glass. Not Dr. Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Glass. You see, when I was a kid, my dad took me to the doctors. For some reason, I don't remember. I do remember all those certificates, the diplomas, and all of them were written in Latin even. So one day I said, Dad, I'm going to be a doctor. Luckily for the general public, Dad said no. Tiny knows best. And now I do have an office, and the walls are loaded with certificates. All my autoglass technicians are certified and qualified to do all your windshield repair and replacement. My dad would be very proud of us.
My boys do a good job. 1-888-64-TINIES. Just call.
My dad did a great job.
McWiggins Pub is a fashionable, upscale Irish pub in downtown Whitman. The pub's charming ambience is the perfect setting for Valentine's dinner with your sweetheart. Start with appetizers like the Whitman Sampler for two with potato skins, fried pickles, onion rings, chicken tenders, and mozzarella sticks. McWiggins' menu offers everything from steak tips to shepherd's pie to the best pizzas on the South Shore. And of course, they have Guinness on tap. McWiggins Pub is now accepting reservations for Valentine's Day. Call 781-447-7333 today to reserve a romantic dinner for Valentine's Day. And coming soon, the patio at McWiggins Pub.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And so we actually, I have no idea how many people are in here. It's almost like a clown car. There are like at least 17 people in the room. Now, who is the leader? Who is your leader?
Cindy.
I'm guilty.
Cindy.
I'm guilty. Hi.
Now, I did during one of the breaks ask for a list. Do we have a list of names?
We do.
Or does somebody want to just start? Do you want, yeah, Cindy, you want to name off some of the folks?
Just,
I'm like
around
amazed. Like, four-part harmony.
Amy.
Yeah.
Well, you can hear me from here?
Well, no, Amy. I'm going to give you a microphone. You got to talk into it because nobody wants to hear reverb. Here, talk into that.
All right. Amy Coombs.
Mike Bundock.
Right into the mic.
Jen Wallace.
George Anzavino.
This could take 10 minutes.
Kathleen Fujawa.
Barbara Keating.
Linda Tracy.
Deb Sorkman.
Debbie Waldrop.
We're kind of going around the room.
Sheila
with the microphone.
Williams.
Donna Perry.
Alfie Arini.
Lori Kipnis.
Lynn Bates.
Elizabeth Garber Miller.
Brittany Nunes.
Douglas Nunes.
Jonathan Keller.
It looks like there's about five more people
in the hallway.
In the hallway,
and we're going to pass that out there.
Paisha Campbell.
Joe Fox.
Susan Reed.
Diana Paquette.
Bob Masalek.
More than
all right.
The hallway.
Did
you
count?
You were supposed to count everybody.
Yeah, give or take a couple.
And there's me. I'm Cindy Miller.
And Cindy Miller.
Wow.
Everybody, very, very nice job.
Well done.
How did you guys form? Cindy, give us the genesis. Right into that microphone.
Okay. Ready. All right. So I was teaching ukulele classes at an unlikely story bookstore in Plainville. There's that plug. And a bunch of folks who took the classes wanted to know what was next when they got done with their lessons. And so we just decided we would get together and play every once in a while. And then I also played with the Zooks down at the Zeiterion Theater in New Bedford. And a bunch of Zooks came to play with us. And then this happened.
This is
great. This did. And this happened tonight.
This happened. There are so many ukuleles.
There's a lot. But there's a mission, right? We're going to get to that tonight, because you guys are striving for something.
We are ukuleles on a mission.
Yes. Joe, do you have a question?
Yeah. Is this the smallest room we've ever performed in?
Yes.
Wow.
I hope it was comfortable.
You did a great job. You really did.
I was impressed. Very impressed. I mean, I've seen your videos, but this is fantastic. Where did the name come from?
Pretty much we adapted it from being at the Unlikely Storybook Store, so we decided the Unlikely Strummers kind of suited us.
Makes sense.
And you know what? I'm going to pass the microphone. Here's the thing is, we'll just pick out a few people, and I want to know from the individuals I point to why you wanted to take up this instrument.
It sounded like a lot of fun.
Now, here's what you'll do. Say your first name, and then answer.
Oh. I'm Lori, and I thought it sounded like a lot of fun.
Okay. This young lady right here. Yeah, that one too.
Hi, Sharon Corley. And I always wanted to play guitar, but, you know, it kind of was a big thing, and ukuleles are small and manageable.
Yeah, but I heard you guys have a roadie. Bob here? Where's Bob? Bob's in the back. Bob's in the back of the room. I met Bob early. He's like, I'm the roadie for the band. I'm like, okay, you have a title. Make sure you're talking to the microphone. Microphone is your friend. Go ahead.
Yeah, we had a roadie. We've one of our roadies was transformed into a member of the group too. So I think that's kind of cool.
Oh, who's that?
He's not here. Sean.
Oh, now, we've estimated there's 25 people here, which is amazing. That this is the largest amount of people who've been in the room. How big is the group actually? Is it even bigger than this, or do you have predominantly everybody here?
We're missing maybe 4 or 5 people.
30 wow. people. And does the numbers go up and down, or are they slowly increasing?
We're pretty stable, although we do kind of increase. Can I pass this microphone back to Bob out in the hallway? Because Bob is our newest member.
Is he now?
Yeah. Hey, Bob.
But Bob's around the corner, and make sure Bob talks into the microphone.
Right into the mic, buddy.
That's kind of key. And I got to see
this
Bob,
too. This is going to be interesting, yes, because we're going to hear a voice, but we're not going to see who's actually talking.
I actually have to see Bob.
Oh, there's Bob.
Hey,
Bob.
I'm also the oldest member of the group.
Really? Are you allowed to tell us how old you are, Bob?
What's that?
How old, Bob?
How old? Well, I retired about 10 years ago.
Well, I'll take that as an answer. That's,
there you go.
That's good. Pass the microphone back.
Close enough. Yeah.
And he's our newest member, which is really cool. Bob just finished taking classes, what, about 2 months ago?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And how long, on average, do people take the lessons and feel like they can become part of the group?
Wow. We've had some people who have taken 7 weeks worth of lessons and jumped right in, and other folks who have taken another round of 7 weeks and jumped right in, and then folks who have disappeared and come back and played with us.
So how do you decide the music if you have a lot of folks who have different experience? How do you decide the songs? Is it like the stuff that you're teaching them over the 7 weeks that they should somehow be able to pick it up?
No, it's actually what we think people are going to want to hear and what we're okay at. But also everybody in the group tends to be like, hey, can we play this? And we've had some really good ideas for songs come out of this group, and we got so much talent here.
So you have a set list.
We have a set list.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, is this one of the gentlemen here, he's like, can I be next to her? I go, why? Well, she sounds a little bit better than I do. I'm like, oh. It's all good. Do you want to play another song?
Sure.
What would you like to play?
We're going
to
play Year 16.
Very nice. Here we go. The Unlikely Strummers.
Let me see. Hallway people, if you can see me out there. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Again, the Unlikely Strummers, and we're going to get into talking a little bit about the group's new fundraising initiative. I believe that you are all striving to be in the 2019 Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, it's the Battle of the Ukulele Bands.
What was on the Facebook page? I said nothing about ukuleles.
It's fake news.
By the way, I actually was sent a text message and. It says something about, is there a Lynn here? Lynn Bates?
Lynn. Yeah.
Who's Lynn Bates? Yes, are you in the Yubilate Corral? Oh, do you know Paul Watson? Grayhead?
Yes.
Okay, well, he knows you. Yeah. He's listening, and he's like, hey, Lynn is in Yubilate Corral. It's
nice.
Oh, it's a small world. He's already famous.
So folks are listening, if that's consolation. But as we were saying, talk to me a little bit about the initiative, a fundraiser to somehow be a part of this.
It is, yeah. This is the first ever Battle of the Ukulele Bands. And in order to qualify to be on stage and compete, they're looking for the top fundraising bands. So we've been fundraising our little hearts out we take donations, but we've also been doing this project called You've Been Uked. And
that was my next question.
Yeah. I think most of the people in here have done at least one You've Been Uked, where somebody will pay us to show up unannounced and play a song or more than one song for somebody and then run away.
That is my favorite thing that I've heard all day. So that is great.
I agree, Joe.
We could put our collective minds together.
Yeah,
and think of somebody
we can
nuke
some people. And I think we have some, the producer in here, he's thinking of some people as well.
Oh, yeah, we got a list going already, guys.
Yes, tell us about this, because this is something that I am very excited about.
So have you, how many people have you uked so far?
Oh,
what's the outcome like?
We've uked probably about 30 or more people since we started this in the fall. The holidays were really busy. We were uking Christmas parties. We uked a baby shower. A couple weeks ago, we uked somebody in the grocery store.
Oh, that's great.
Which was really kind of awesome.
Yep.
But
people love it. You know, yeah. We've uked folks at work. And
how do you go about doing it, though? So let's say you want to get somebody uked. How do you do it?
You would email us at unlikelystrummers@gmail.com, and you would say, hey, I want to uke somebody, and you would just tell us when and where and who, and we'd talk a little bit about what song might be appropriate for that.
Okay.
And then we show up and do it.
That's great. Is there a minimum donation, or is it really anything?
For a single song, we would hope to get a $20 donation, which is way cheaper than singing telegrams, which are about 10 times that.
And
just
embarrassing
saying.
Your friends is priceless anyways,
embarrassing
right?
your friends. You cannot pay enough
That's
to
right.
embarrass
I've
your friends.
I've thought about
That's
this right. for 37 seconds, and I think I've just made you $400.
There you go.
that was Ben, my producer. Yeah. Yeah, Ben, if you have any ideas, please. They've already announced what the Gmail account is. And I was able to, that's how I was able to reach out. Did I speak to you, Cindy?
Yes, you did.
And I was like, these guys would be fantastic. And it also, I think, it'll be a podcast, so we'll be able to put up the show, and you'll be able to share it. And then the idea is getting out there in regards to uking people. Cindy, if you were to pick somebody here who's been on one of these uked adventures, because I want to get their reaction as to what it was. Oh, this gentleman over here.
Oh, my gosh.
Joe, if you will.
She's afraid to give
okay,
me
we all right, so we need to pass this around.
No.
Couple
people. All right, so let's do this. Yeah, pass that over and make sure you say your name and just kind of give an experience of what it was like to uke someone.
Yeah, I'm Mike. And
hi, Mike.
I've been doing this almost from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's a little bit later. I'm one of the zooks she mentioned, but. Having a lot of fun, and actually fairly recently, I wanted to mention two things because you failed to. There are different levels of uke, because if you want more songs, obviously if you pay a little more money, there's a little fee for it.
But
you get at least three or four people, mostly five, right? Probably.
Yeah, because we all want to do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we rotate that.
So remember, Mike, we got 10 minutes left on the show.
Okay.
So get ready for
I can keep going.
I know you can.
Okay.
But give us an instance.
All right.
Of the
well, the coolest thing on the uke was we were paid some money to go visit somebody in Canton. I'm just going to, and we show up at the door and ring the bell, and we look in the dining room, and we see the husband shocked out of his brains. He had forgotten that she was going to get uked, a friend of hers. Man. So she shows up at the door in her nightgown and the toddler hanging on her shoulder. But anyway.
And the song you performed was
But she was fun. No, we did a couple of small lullabies, actually, for the kids.
Oh,
so.
Wow.
But anyway.
That's great. Right, we want to pass it to Cindy, who's next?
Pass it back to John, Don and Sheila.
All right. Yeah, we're passing around the unlikely... Strummers,
hi, I'm Sheila Williams.
Hi, Sheila.
How are you?
Hello.
The funniest uke I've done was for a baby, and the mother and the grandmother said that this baby went to pre-K, and responded to banjo players that came and played. So she thought it would be fun, and it was strange, but it was really fun, and everybody had a good time.
That's great.
One more person.
I'm Donna Perry. One of my favorites was going to Mansfield to a Christmas party. The people were just so welcoming. They were just so much fun. And one of the reasons why I like doing this is that we can bring music right into people's homes. What could be better than that?
That's right.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
We have one more. Do we have one more hand?
One more way in the back, out in the hallway.
Now remember, we got about 8 minutes left.
We're raising money for the Ukulele Kids Club. Which provides we're raising money for the Ukulele Kids Club, which provides ukuleles to hospitals for children that are in the hospital.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so this really isn't for us. It's like all the money that we get goes directly to the Ukulele Kids Club. So.
Oh, that's great.
Would you like to play another song?
We would love to play.
Yay! Again, the Unlikely Strummers here on Monday Night Talk.
It's so easy, 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 it's so easy,
I didn't expect this. I would have had cameras here if I knew. I mean, yeah. Other than my cell phone here, because you guys do a phenomenal job. How many hours a week would you say you guys get together and practice? Is it? Do you have? Is it that? Is it that? Is it a lot?
We get together about every other week.
Oh, wow, really?
We're going to start with the battle coming up. We're going to start meeting every week and practicing, and we bounce back and forth between An Unlikely Story in Plainville and Eastern Music in Taunton.
It's in the downtown area, right?
Yeah. It's just got a beautiful, beautiful space for us, so it's been awesome, and that's been a terrific relationship. Thank you, Pasha.
We know the owner real well.
Yeah, the owner plays with us. That's Pasha Campbell back there.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's say I want to take a lesson. Joe wants to take a lesson. How does he go about
it? You want to take a lesson? Well, sorry.
Was it a matter of just a lesson? I mean, how quick can he pick it up?
Well, you know, I just got done running a Jumpstart workshop this weekend where for 2 hours folks came with their brand new ukuleles and learned maybe 5-6 basic chords and a bunch of little songs and how to pick a little bit. Right. And you can do that and then teach yourself more on YouTube. And there's a lot of resources out there. Or you can take 7 weeks worth of beginner lessons followed by 7 weeks worth of beginner two lessons. But I think one of the best ways to learn is learn a little bit and then play with people. Right. You learn fast.
Can we pass?
Definitely seems that way.
Can we pass the microphone back to the young right. lady who owns the Eastern Music?
Yep, Pasha Campbell here.
How are you?
Good.
So what is it like to be a part of this? What caught your eye about it?
Well, I started playing ukulele because you can play all kinds of music on it now. It has expanded. It has just grown and grown and grown. So it attracts all kinds of people. You can do lots of stuff with it. And I just find it a lot of fun. These people are great. They were very welcoming to me and Susan. And it's just been, I can't say the word fun enough, I guess. It's been wonderful.
Well, because the reason why I'm asking you is, again, you own a store full of instruments.
I do.
So you could have your pick. You could, whether it's a guitar or a bass or drums, percussion.
And she picked us.
Built-in customers here, yeah, I know.
So it's kind of a unique story. Yeah. It definitely is.
So my question, though, is what's the goal? What's the final goal that you're trying to reach? Is there a number that right. you're looking for?
Okay, so we actually passed our initial goal, which was just sort of
Fantastic.
The basic of what I thought a group our size should be able to do.
Yep.
And we're close to doubling that, and I'm hoping that we can actually get to that. We doubled what we said we would do, Mark. But we've just had so much fun doing this that it's, you know, and it's such a great cause.
And how long do you have until that you can't donate anymore for this particular issue?
The battle is on April 20th.
Ooh. Yep.
So we've got some time.
Okay.
And initially they had set a deadline of February 15th, and they've said that we can keep going.
Oh, that's great.
So it sounds like you're gonna have to come back, maybe with...
Yeah. That'd be awesome. We would do that.
Okay. Has everybody had fun here tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
First time for everybody being on radio?
Yeah.
Correct. Excellent. All right.
We look better this way.
Yeah. Didn't you? I thought I heard something about there were a few folks who were worried about how they were dressed. This is not a visual medium. Everybody knows that, right?
Who came dressed for radio?
That's right.
All right. So we're going to play. So let's give. Do you have a website?
We do. We are unlikelystrummers.weebly.com, and we're on Facebook.
Okay. What are you going to play us out with?
So this we're going to play out with one of our favorite songs that was originally recorded by Levon Helm and the band. It's The Wait. And we've got some soloists, so we're going to have to do some fancy microphone passing here.
All right. So here we go. The Unlikely Strummers to close out Monday Night Talk until next week at 6:15 p.m. Have a good evening.
Okay. Thank you.
was feeling about half past dead. Just needed some place where I could lay my head. Hey, mister, can you tell me where am I might find a bed? He just grinned and shook my head, and no was all he said. Picked up my bag, I went looking for a place to hide. When I saw Carmen and the devil walking side by side, I said, hey, Carmen, come on, let's go downtown. She said, I gotta go, but my friend can't stick around.
Take a load off.
Moses, there's nothing you can say. It's just old Luke, and Luke's waiting on the judgment day. Well, Luke, my friend, what about young Annalee? He said, do me a favor, son, won't you pay and take Annalee company?
Take a load off Annie.
Crazy chance to follow me, and he caught me in the fall. Said, I'll fix your rack if you take Jack McDowell. I said, wait a minute, Chester, you know I'm a peaceful man. He said, that's okay, boy, won't you feed him when you can?
Take a load off Annie.